So thank you. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot for the invitation. So I will talk about how to design correct distributed systems. And actually, my talk will be related somehow to the talk of Mark Shapiro of this morning. So, well, as you know, okay, let's say that all of us, we use distributed applications, for instance, for booking flights, hotels, and all these things. And of course, the question is how to guarantee that, for instance, if I book a room, that this room will not be given to somebody else in the same time, or my flight seat, and so on. So how do you design correct systems that, in some sense, despite the fact that there are several users that are can be distant and can do in concurrently operations, this still the behavior that we observe is correct? So applications. Programmers so need abstraction in order to reason about the systems that they are designing, and usually they like having strong assumptions on the operations like atomicity and synchrony. And this was mentioned already this morning by Mark, because this is the way of simplifying their life. You assume that the infrastructure provide you strong consistency assumptions. But of course, in the same time, they want that the systems to be performant. And this means that the implementers will have to somehow optimize the use of synchronization. And this may lead, actually, to relaxing some of the guarantees, the consistency guarantees that the system will offer to the application programmers. So then there is kind of tension between consistency and performance. And the designer of the application should be, the application they have to design should be immune against these relaxations, which means that it doesn't matter whether the infrastructures is giving less guarantees than what they expect, or they have to be aware precisely about the effects of these relaxations in order to design correctly their application. So the question is how to design correct applications that are in the same time correct and offer good properties of performance and availability. And this is what we call the adequate model for the given application that you want to have. So this is similar actually to the goals that Mark was explaining this morning. So now, in order to organize our thinking about systems, well, as you know, systems are organized in layers. And this helps, of course, in having abstraction, because you can concentrate on one layer by looking at only what is observable at the interfaces between between these layers. So for instance, in our case here, for instance, in our example, so you have users of the booking application. The booking application, so what we observe are these sequences, or let's say, in fact, there is a kind of partial order between, operations like cancel and book, and then the booking application itself will maybe call some storage system by doing some read and write operations. And the storage system itself will use some infrastructure like a network where he will do operations like sends and receives. And now we want to check the correctness of this system layer by layer, and this by looking at what happens at each of these interfaces. So in this talk, I will actually concentrate on this layer between our booking application and the storage system, and see what will happen. So now, let's take a little example. Assume that we have two users, two participants, trying to do two different operations. One wants to write 2 to X, and the other one wants to write 5. Okay, so the question is, what can be seen by other users of the systems. What are the possible values that will be visible? So now depends on what you assume about the level of consistency or the behavior of this system. So in which order he will show you the operations. So strong consistency means that you assume that all the updates are visible to all participants simultaneously, without any delay, and when they are, and they will also be seen in the same order by everybody. Okay, so this is like you have everything is visible. You put on the table what you want to modify, and everybody is aware about that. So, for instance, we will choose that one of these participants will start. He will put x is equal to 5. Now, if anybody wants to read x, he will get the same value. So in that sense, the views are consistent of all the participants. So you have exactly the same information everywhere. Now, if the second one will do will assign x by 2, again, we will have the same view everywhere. So this is what corresponds to the strong consistency. And this is, let's say, the simplest model and to think of, and which simplifies, in some sense, if you are a designer of the application, this is, let's say, the strongest what you can expect, model you can expect, and the simplest to program with. Now, you may have other situations. For instance, we have seen the situation where you may have replication. And this actually happens at many levels. We have seen this morning that, of course, you can have it in geo-replicated systems, but not only. Actually, even in the hardware, the modern architectures actually act like this replicated system. You will not have one single main copy, but you will have a replicated memory, and you have a distributed somehow architecture. So all what I am actually talking about is equally relevant, through all the layers of the systems, from the lowest level of hardware to the highest applications over large scale networks. So okay, so now assume you have now several copies of the memory, and now you get something which is not anymore strong consistent, because you may allow that the updates take some time to be visible by everybody. And in the same time, when they will become visible, they are not certainly visible in the same order by everybody. So then you relax these two aspects. So for instance, here, we can start by having x is equal to 5, but now this we will propagate these updates, but it will reach first one of the processes, but not the other one. So this means that when the reads can happen, we will observe different values at different places. And similarly, now if we have the second update, this one will reach, for instance, one of the processes, but not the other. So we may have this situation. And now this pending, writes, they were delayed, they can arrive, but then we will see different values. And you see that now we reach a situation where the sequences of reads in each of these locations are different, completely different. Okay? So this is, so now you see that depending on what we consider as admissible in terms of the visibility of the events and the order in which they are visible, we will get different possible behaviors. So for that, in order to reason in a formal way about these notions, we have to consider what is called the consistency model of the system. So which will define the expected interactions with the system. So it tells you or define for you formally what are the possible return values by the reads, okay? So, and as we have seen, actually, these return values will depend on a set of visible events that at some moment participant will see, and also the order that are possible for executing these visible events. So let's see an example. So if I tell you, okay, I have these three processes, whether it's possible to read the values that you see. Is it something possible? Well, can we explain why this can happen? Well, yes, because we can have this possible visibility orders. So here, this stars tells you each process. So we have three processes, the blue, green, and the red. So the stars tells you for each process what are the events that he has seen. So for instance, the blue one, P1, has seen write X0 and write X2, but he has not seen write X1, and so on. And now, once I have seen the events, I have to imagine, okay, in which order they occurred. I mean, if I have no constraint, I can choose the order which is good for me. So for instance, you can have these situations, and you see that because of this, for instance, the blue guy have seen that the last write event was to write 2 on X, and this is why he answers 2, and so on. Now, this is perfectly possible, and this is a very weak model, and in particular, you see that these two processes have divergent views of how the actions are executed, okay? So this can happen. Now, you may want also to, in some models, introduce a stronger constraint, saying that, okay, when two processes see the same event, so they should agree immediately about the order in which they occurred. So in some sense, this helps in having convergence. All right. So in this case, for instance, we have to agree in this way. All right. So in fact, consistency models have two parts. One tells you about what are the possible values that you can see when you read something, and also the fact that you have a convergence of the views, because as we have seen, we may diverge at some point. We don't see the same things, but you want that eventually, if we wait enough, we will agree on old enough events, all right? So this is some safety parts in general and some liveness part in this definition of these consistency models, okay? So, all right, actually there is a lattice of consistency models because depending on how do you put these constraints on the visibility orders. And I will, for instance, give you two examples that were already mentioned in the talk by Mark, is eventual and causal consistency. So eventual consistency is very weak model. It tells you, okay, I can see some bunch of events and I decide in which order I can execute them. For instance, here, I can say that this process can read X is equal to 0 because he has seen X, what he wrote himself, and the write that he has seen only one write, which is write one by, write one to Y, okay? So this is perfectly correct with respect to eventual consistency. But now if you look at causal consistency, and this has been already defined somehow, causal consistency tells you that if you see an event, you see all the previous events that are causally related to that one. All right? So now, if we look at this example, since he has seen the right one, so this is, you see, the causality relation between the events. So actually, he has to see everything. He cannot actually avoid seeing anything. So in this case, actually, you will see that this, because of this visibility order that can only be like that, because it has to be compatible with the causality, so actually he cannot answer at the last position that X is equal to 0 as before, but he has to say that this is equal to 1. Why? Because actually he has seen that Y is equal to 1, and if he has seen Y is equal to 1, this is because he has seen the right Y is equal to 1, and so on. This means that he has seen that X was assigned by 1. All right, so this gives you this. So in general, there is a lot of effort that has been done in the last few years in order to formalize these consistency models, as in general, by actually giving what we call axiomatic models, basically you define a number of relations that define some dependency between events, and you state consistency as the existence of some orders or some relations with that satisfy some constraints, you know, some kind of closure properties and some acyclity constraints. So I will not enter to the details, but I am giving you some references if you are interested. So once you have formalized what is a consistency model, now you want to verify that some system is correct. And this means that you have to check that all observable behaviors of a program are conform to some specification. So this is the general things, but so this includes you have to look at what are the decidability and complexity of the considered problems. So, and here the difficulty is that you have to deal with unbounded partial orders, as we have seen. You see, formalizing this this concept of consistency, you need to talk about partial orders that represent, you know, the, some information about the executions. And in order to verify now systems, you have to, in some sense, represent and manipulate these sets of partial orders that can be unbounded, which is a difficult task. And of course, you want to have algorithms that allows you to decide this property, whether a program is correct. So either you want to have precise algorithms based on decision procedures, or you want to have, for different reasons, either because the problem is indecidable or too complex, you want to have approximate maybe analysis, either for catching bugs or for proving correctness. And this can be either algorithmic approaches or deductive approaches based on some sound or and or complete proof rules. And also something important in order to you know, to tackle the complexity is to reason compositionally. You know, you have to consider, you know, systems component wise, and also to reason across the layers, as I have seen. So for instance, if we come back to the little example that we have. So here we have first, if you want to prove the correctness of your application, so you are given some implementation. Somebody gives you the implementation, tells you this one is correct, let's check it. So it will go, it has to provide also some functional specification, which tells you, okay, I mean, that's, this application is correct because it will never book twice the same whatever seat or things of this form. So this is the functional specification. This is what Mark was, you know, describing using invariants this morning. And you want to do that assuming some consistency model, which is not always the strong consistency, but it can be any of these consistency models, like eventual consistency, causal consistency, and so on. All right? So you have this assume guarantee reasoning to do. Now, that's at the level of the application. And of course, now, if you have also to show that the implementation of the system that you are also using is correct. And this means that that implementation guarantee indeed the level of consistency that the application is expecting, all right? And of course, this is again assuming something about the network that you are using and so on. So you see that's basically it's the same kind of reasoning, but you do it at different layers. And each time you have different problems to face because depending on the complexity of the programs you have and the complexity of these models that you have at the interfaces. So for instance, at this level, you see that the consistency model is taken as the specification for the system, okay? Okay, good. Now, I don't know how much time I have because I started late only. Okay, thanks. So, I will talk, let's say, about the first layer. I will see if I can have time for more time. So, if I look at the application layer now, so this is this picture. So what is the difficulty here? The difficulty is that your program, describing your application, when you want to check it correct with respect to a specification, the semantics of this program is complex because of the relaxed, you know, consistency model that you have. Why it's complex? Because when you relax, so you add a lot of behaviors, a lot of possible orders that can be added. And these orders also are quite complex and sometimes very difficult to even to understand and to think of. So this is a source of complexity, an important source of complexity. Now, if you look at what does it mean in terms of, you know, the computational power, in fact, you need very complex also models to capture the behaviors of these memory models, because you have to think about these partial orders. And partial orders usually, so if I give you a set of sequences and the partial order actually, so when you have these independences, this means that you have a lot of possible interleavings, so a lot of reorderings. Usually when you take a regular language and you close it by commutations, you get something which is not regular. Operationally, this means that you have something like queues to use in order to have to describe this kind of behaviors. And you know that when you have unbounded queues, you get very quickly to powerful models. So you are very close to the undecidability barrier. So usually it's an undecidable problem, and if it's not, it will be highly complex. So actually, we have studied this type of problems. First, we started by weak memory models that occur for hardware, like total store ordering and so on. And we have shown that still it's decidable, but in that case, you have to use the theory of well-structured systems, which is a class of decidable infinite state systems, and like lossy channel systems and so on. So this is really at the frontier of what is known to be decidable. So it's possible to solve these questions, but they are actually very hard. And actually very little is known about consistency models in the framework of distributed systems, like eventual consistency and causal consistency. As far as I know, those are still open problems. Now, of course, when you have this situation, you can say, okay, either I will try to find some approximate methods for analyzing, you know, the systems, or I will try to have some other approaches. One of the approaches that seems very promising is to check robustness. What does it mean? So, I mean, this comes from some, you know, some claim, which is not completely true, of course, is that, okay, these consistency relaxations that we have, they are actually supposed to be there because we want performance. But ideally, they should not modify the semantics of your program or your, let's say, your application, right? So then what we try to check if a program is immune or robust against the effects of the relaxations. So which means that if I take a model M1 and some weaker one, which is M2, I want to check whether for that particular program, if I look at its behavior running over M1 or M2, I will see the same, right? So if I have this property, which is in some sense like saying that I want to verify this program under M2 with, as a specification, himself running under M1. So then actually this is very important because it implies, it gives me another way of proving the program under M2 because I will preserve simply what I have proved under the stronger model, M1, all right? And what is the benefit of this is the complexity, because I can check my program on the strong model. I have much less behaviors to consider. And if I have this property, then I know that this property is preserved. Of course, now the question is how do you check it, whether it will cost you as if, if is it as hard as checking the program itself as, under the weak model? And it turns out that no. That's the important thing, is that it's possible to reduce the robustness question to solving reachability queries or checking invariants under the strong model. So that's important, because checking robustness, you can do it under the strong model, and this allows you to check invariants on the strong model. So this means that you get rid of all these problems of relaxations in terms of complexity. And actually, we have done it for models like TSO and Power in the case of this hardware model models. And recently, we have done it also for the case of causal consistency as snapshot isolation. This is a very recent work. And actually, the robustness we have in these cases actually allows you to detect real, real bugs. It's not too strong, It will not give you, let's say, false positive. That's an interesting point. And this is the only, for instance, way we can decide somehow, for instance, causal consistency or snapshot isolation. Precisely, we don't know how to do it, in general, but if we check the robustness, it gives us this method. And there are actually, it's an interesting question that many other people have addressed these questions by giving other procedures, but that are sound and not complete. I will skip the other part because the boss is looking at me. And now I just to finish. Now, so this is a challenge actually, related actually to what Mark has presented this morning, is that now if we know how to do this verification, and as I said, we can do, you can check that a system is conform to some specification, or you can check that it's robust, and then that the strong, version is correct. Now you can ask yourself that if I have, a first implementation and some specification for my application, let's say the first implementation is the one that is the most stupid one, which is just take the sequential implementation and just put lock everywhere and so on. It's completely, what is called the reference implementation. But then you want to optimize it in some sense. So actually, you can, using verification, try to see if starting from M0, which is maybe the strong consistency, you want to go down and see where can you go, and what would be the weaker, model for which your implementation is still okay. Now, when it starts to be not okay, then at some point you can say, well, I can choose a weaker model because it's good for me, for presumably for performance, but then I have maybe to tune a bit my implementation in order to add just enough, synchronization in order to make it correct. So then I can use this, for instance, the result of verification and look at the counterexamples that they provide in order to know where to insert precisely the synchronization that is needed in order to, in some sense, repair my implementation, knowing that it will run under some weak model. Okay? So there actually you can produce many options of correct implementations together with the consistency model that goes with it. Okay, so by combining this verification and synthesis techniques, after that, of course, one can choose about these different options, that are all correct with respect to performance measures. Okay, that's another aspect that I have not addressed, and this is another whole topic of studies. Okay, I mean, this approach is, I mean, this is some very active now area. Many people are looking at this type of questions, among them Mark, and actually this is maybe the some project of cooperation that we will hopefully have together between our teams. Okay, so this is